The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It's Thursday morning, very beautiful Thursday morning in Dublin, Ireland. It is 4 minutes past nine on the 13th of May, 2021. Halfway there now, towards May. Nearly there now. Don't quite know nearly to what. But we're here till 10 o'clock and you can text us on 51551 or email ryan@rte.ie. Interesting, very good observation from Anne-Marie Part, who says that she overheard in the post office somebody saying, you don't look old enough to have the vaccine. She says it's the new flattery line being used on people of a certain age. I got the vaccine, but you couldn't have got the vaccine. You look so, I mean, honestly, you at your age? Yes, you know, I'm 88, you know. No, come on, come on. I wouldn't have had you yet. And then you kind of go, oh God, what is appropriate when you say somebody doesn't look 88? Do you say I thought you were 76-ish. Like, I'm not quite sure. Either way, you look too young for a vaccination is the new compliment you can give. But then... A guy calls himself Brian, emails in, and he says, I think he seems to be having lockdown nostalgia already. How can anyone? I mean, we're not even allowed to have a pint with friends outside in the pub, you know. I mean, we can have the plastic cups and stuff, but we haven't got to the 7th of June. Not that it's etched in my brain or anything. We haven't got there yet, or hotels or anything. But anyway, he says, look, I was fortunate enough to get my COVID vaccine on Wednesday afternoon, but you don't look an age, a day over 70. The waiting area was full of smiling faces, he says, and there was a great sense of anticipation in the air. However, once I got home and started to feel that the end of COVID was near, I experienced what can only be described as an existential crisis. My mind tells me that we are going from the known COVID world, which is not at all desirable, to an unknown post-COVID world. Getting into the whole Rumsfeld world here. But anyway, will things return to what they were previously? Asks Brian. Were things really that great? Going out, meeting and hugging friends will be exciting, but what about all the other stuff? The stuff we didn't have to deal with, like career plans and traffic and shopping centres and making decisions and people. What about that? For the past 14 months, we haven't had to deal with much of that. My recollection of the start of the pandemic was the sense that people were stopping and thinking about their lives and their priorities. Did we do that? Now the same reassessment is going to have to take place and it'll all be a challenge. I think I'm supposed to have learned something from all this, but I don't think I have. Am I a worrier? Do I have Stockholm syndrome? Am I the only one? So many questions, so little time. But Is that a table for one in terms of anxiety and worry, wondering what next? I think it might be a bit too soon to ask what next. I think we're still in it. Not enough people vaccinated, not enough freedom of movement for my liking. So I think it's a bit previous. But I think you're completely right to wonder. Not worry, though. I wouldn't worry about it. I think it is a bit of Stockholm syndrome. And we have to have learned something. Or this awful expression people say, what are the learnings? The learnings? Huh? Anyway, we have to just roll with the language. It's driving me mad. So what do you do with it? We just have to take the best bits, cherry pick the best bits that we've learned from it, if anything. But no, don't fall in love with lockdown. No. It wasn't good. It wasn't good. Don't. It's like Goodbye Lenin, isn't it? Where you fall in love with the darkness. Anyway, thank you for that lovely email. And it was interesting, very interesting thoughts on it all. There's a university, the University of East Anglia, the UEA in the UK, and a student was going, what'll I do for my dissertation? I don't know what to do. So what she did was she ultimately alighted on one of the greatest films ever made and movie franchises, essentially Shrek. And she said, I'm going to do my dissertation on Shrek. She's doing a film and television degree, but this is so good. Because imagine the amount of pretentious nonsense written about films that didn't mean any of it. You know the way that, I think what he's trying to say here, no, he's not. He's trying to say that guy was a baddie, he was a mafia, and he fell in love with Karen. What's wrong with you? So with this, you can overthink these things. So she just said, look, I'm going to do this, because her feeling is that Shrek was as she says, legit. And it means to be, it was meant to be, Shrek was meant to be a massive you to Disney, right? Just two large fingers saying, and saying that the film seems to want to be a better and more funny version of a Disney fairy tale film. So they developed technically advanced CGI and they improved the representation of women and they tried to villainize what Disney stood for. I didn't see it like that, but I'm beginning to get it. I could watch Shrek 1, 2, 3 and 4, Shrek Forever After, over and over again. It's just got the humor bang on right. Anyway, there's a brilliant quote, and she's entitled her Shrek dissertation using this quote from the film. When Donkey and Shrek arrive at Lord Farquhar's castle, and if you know Farquhar, he's very small, diminutive, but with big notions. We all know, you know, the heads like that. And they get to the castle, and Shrek's looking up. And Donkey is looking up, and Shrek turns to Donkey and he says,
"Do you think maybe he's compensating for something?"
Yeah, okay. And don't worry about it, kids. It's a funny film. Just keep laughing. And Shrek says, so he said that. So that's what it's called. The dissertation is called, "Do you think maybe he's compensating for something?" Like, if I was correcting that woman's, that student's dissertation, I'd look at the title itself and go, yeah. You get a first, just for cleverness alone. You can have it. Dreaming of imagine owning a bookshop someday or working in a bookshop. Two things about that. One, there's a romantic notion, like, oh, surrounded by dusty books and the spines. And then two, I always think, what a hard business to run. Like, there's the, you know, the yin and the yang with that one. I'd say they're really, especially independent bookshops, must be very hard to run, which is why we need to be there supporting them and buying our books from them, because they're tough. But there's one in called Blessington Bookstore, and they sent out a tweet saying, unique opportunity to take over a successful bookshop and coffee shop in Blessington. And there's a chance of reopening, but I am too close to retirement, says the person on the tweet, and would prefer to help someone else to do it. If you're interested, email info@blessingtonbookstore.ie for more information. And there's a picture of what looks like the most beautiful bookshop. And, you know, if you were in a certain point in your life, you think, yeah, I could do that. Can meet this nice other person who works in the bookshop and work with them and just, you know, have a Charing Cross Road existence. What a lovely thing to do. Meanwhile, the bat lovers among you will be delighted to know that Bat Conservation Ireland are hosting an event on May the 18th between 7:30 and 8:30 called Bats in Ireland, which is how we're all feeling. Bats in Ireland, a virtual exploration of bats likely to visit your garden. How about that now? And there's the bat expert, Dr. Tina Ockney, will be there giving the talk. And it's great. I don't know why it was so funny. Cashel House Hotel, about 2 years ago, having a cup of coffee, wasn't even staying there, I was just passing through, and a bat came in. And it was, you might as well, Tom Cruise might as well have walked in, dragged a couch behind him and jumped up and down it for an hour. Such was the excitement at looking at this bat. And bats, I can see why people say you're bat crazy, because bats move, they don't even fly, they flicker around the place, up and down the walls, they're gas. But anyway, Bat Conservation Ireland are going to do that talk, if you want to go to that to see what's happening in your garden, bat-wise. Jim Henson, who of course the man behind all the Muppets, they put a call out, at History Muppet, they're looking for puppeteers. That's another mad job. What do? I work in the Muppets. As what? I'm one of the Muppets. No. How... It's a puppeteer training initiative. Go out there and give them a hand or two. That's the tagline. And the only thing is, you have to be 5'4" to 6'3". So you're out if you're not in. So there's a height. It's quite heightist. They're looking for diverse community. Oh, right. Well, I couldn't apply for it because you have to be either a member of the LGBTQ plus community or a person of colour or women of all cultural backgrounds. So it's specific to all of that. So that's me out. But it's from diverse communities and backgrounds to train as puppeteers in the Jim Henson technique, which is amazing. I don't know. Well, I'm honestly mildly mesmerised by, well, very, very much mesmerised by Muppets and muppeteering, which is obviously a word now, and that they have a technique, and it's so lovely. Text 51551, tell that man, the worrier, he's not the only one. Once I got over the initial worry, I began to enjoy the slower pace. Oh gosh, okay, it's happening already, isn't it? And I have the opposite problem. This is not, I have an underlying condition that a lot of people don't know about. So when I'm telling people about vaccination, I'm trying to subtly point out it was not due to age. Yeah, of course, because you have to, you obviously have a condition that you're not necessarily happy to talk to everyone about. So that's it. I never thought about that. That was a trickier one. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning in West Cork. Lovely. Just started Fargo last night, says a text, with an absolutely amazing, or you're loving it. And our very own Jesse Buckley from Killarney is brilliant. And I've heard only great things about that. And another says, talking books, the Book Awards for Ireland and the UK, the Nibbies, take place this evening. I've never heard of them. And two Irish bookshops have been nominated. Oh, wonderful. Tertulia Bookshop in Westport, I think I've been there, for Independent Bookshop of the Year. Congratulations. And ourselves, halfway up the stairs, the Children's Bookshop in Greystones. Congratulations, folks, for Children's Bookseller of the Year. That's tremendous. We're very proud and excited. Best of luck to Tertulia. And thanks from Trish from halfway up the stairs. That's great. Best book. The bookshops in Ireland are just gorgeous, and they're so loving and beautiful. Brian has a point, says the text. I felt something similar after my vaccine. While the weight was lifted, there was a slight fear of what next. I don't think it's Stockholm syndrome, more like being released from prison. And prison and lockdowns, that there's a routine in that, and rules and certainty. And the real world has none of the above. And we've become a little institutionalized. It's also how people become adapted to oppressive regimes. Well, that's another fine point. And I found when I went into the gallery on Monday and out to Mount Usher and Wicklow on Tuesday, was very good to help in terms of starting to get used to it all a bit. Because I found going into town, everything felt quite big, even though Dublin's not a big city. But it's been a long time since I'd walked the streets. And, you know, there is a transition, I think, for us to get back into that full flow of craziness, and it'll happen. But yeah, we have to learn our way into lockdown and pandemic, and now we have to learn our way out of it, essentially. So it'll just take a little while, but we'll get there, you know that. Ellen DeGeneres, her show's been pretty much, well, she says it's she's walking away from it, but I'd say handprints on the back job there. But she announced her talk show is coming to an end after 19 years. There was a mad mess of allegations of toxic environment and everything. But she said she's just not, the show's just not a challenge anymore. So she's out. And she has come under intense scrutiny in recent months after news reports detailed claims about an allegedly toxic workplace. In August last year, three producers left their allegations, left after allegations made by former staff members, and the ratings have taken hits. So she's heading for the hills. Is Ellen, and off she goes. Dionne Warwick, I'm glad to say, is not dead, and I say that because the rumours of her death have been greatly exaggerated. And in fairness to her, a Twitter user, Shock, posted a screenshot of this confirmation of her dying, and the life and sad ending of Dionne Warwick. To which Dionne Warwick herself replied, "Oh no," getting the joke completely. She's 80 years old. She's very much alive and well. And much like the Muppet Christmas Carol, Dionne Warwick, who did not die, is happily tweeting, singing and performing, and all is good in the world. Those of you who enjoy other voices will be thrilled to hear that they will be celebrating Bob Dylan's 80th birthday with Dublin live stream from the US Embassy, of all places, in Phoenix Park. It's called Dignity, after the Dylan song released in 1994. And the stream will take place on May 24th. Loa, a wonderful performer, will present it. And it'll include people like Mick Flannery and Susan O'Neill, Joseph O'Connor, and more to be announced. So that's Dylan, Dylan at 80. That's fun. That's terrific. Okay, good on them. 51551, you would think, wouldn't you? Isn't it amazing how, just on the politics for a moment, the Bally Murphy story, how David Cameron, for all his faults, at least had the dignity and wherewithal to apologise to the families of Bloody Sunday with a certain amount of class. Mr. Johnson could take a leaf out of Mr. Cameron's book, and because now his crowd have been causing enough trouble for enough time, and a decent apology is the least people would expect. So hopefully they'll get it right. When I heard it sounded like almost a press release, and it was so unbecoming. But hopefully he'll correct that with any luck, and apologise appropriately to the good people who have campaigned for so long to keep the dignity of their families' names alive. And we wish them well in that, and hopefully they'll sort it out. My favourite bookshop. Meanwhile, bouncing back to is Clifton says, oh, it's gorgeous. I know it well. Small bookshop that you can lose yourself in. Yeah, despite the size of it, that's the thing about bookshops. Back to Shrek and Donkey. Do you think he's compensated? These shops don't need to. They have these lovely nooks and crannies in them that you can just, as you say, disappear. And certainly Clifton is one of them. Amazing. Burt Bacharach, Stevie Wonder, Bob Dylan, and the chap from Fleetwood Mac, all born within a couple of days of each other. Didn't know that. And Book Selling Ireland tweet to say, thanks for all the bookshop love this morning. Ryan, can't wait to see you when we're back. Book Selling, where there's a bookshop, there's a me. And whenever we go on tour, and we are, God damn it, we're like caged animals here. I'm telling you, I cannot wait to get out on the road and tour the country. As soon as whoever, do we need a note from Tony or something? Whoever gives us a stamp start ticket to say, get out there to Galway and Cork and Donegal and Leitrim and Offaly and Longford and wherever you want to go, just get out there and have. I can't wait. I feel like I've been deprived. I'm like a lunatic, ready to see the world. And so as soon as they let us go, we are going to be like bullets from a gun, out all around the country, saying hi to everybody, and maybe even a handshake in a matter of no handshake. Loads of hand sanitizer. Had that anyway pre-pandemic, so that's fine. I also have an underlying health condition no one knows about. I am HIV positive, says the text, and afraid to tell anyone. I've got a vaccine, and I would say this is more common than people realize. Be careful when someone says, I got vaccinated, and you ask, how come? You're not due to get it yet. We all have secrets, says the text. And that is so true. And there has to be a certain amount of politeness and awareness around the question about how did you get your vaccine? Where did you get your vaccine? Why did you get your vaccine? It's touch of the none of your business about it too. And it's a fair point, a very fair point. I'm glad you brought that up. 51551. Right, that's text. Shall we take a tune? Yeah, I was talking about Casino. What a great film that was. And then I was chatting about how amazing those movies are and what Scorsese's. I was only saying that Scorsese's soundtrack is the albums and music he picks for his films are just magnificent. And I was thinking, I must watch Goodfellas again. And that got me thinking of De Niro when he took out that cigarette and he's at the bar and his face and he's being annoyed by Mari with the wig. And then the music comes on. You're just thinking, yes. That'll do nicely. Cream and Sunshine of Your Love. Yes, Ryan, says Denise in Kildare, dancing around the kitchen. That one, good. Strange song to dance around the kitchen to, though, isn't it? I mean, I can see the frying pan possibly as a guitar replacement, but it's not. Anyway, look, you did what you did. That's what it's there for. That's why we're here. Biggest regret, though, says Tommy, was not getting to Cream's farewell concert in the Albert Hall. That is why, when you say, "I wonder, should I go to something that I really want to go to?" You shouldn't wonder. Just go. All right. Well, our old pal Miles Duncan standing by. I'm dying to say hello to him. Let's do that after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
Linda says, Miles Duncan was the voice of my evenings when I was growing up listening to 5-7 Live doing my homework. Always a pleasure to hear him back on the radio. Here. And Catherine Fox says, great interview. Looking forward to reading this and his next book of The Land Wars, which will have to include The Cattle Drives by Lawrence Ginelli in Westmeath. And Deirdre says, great to hear Miles, a gentleman. I know him from Kells in County Meath, a great town. We've had great times in Kells, actually. We've done a couple of shows from there. And we shall return with any luck. Let's take some music. Yes, Hotel Yorba from the White Stripes. I think I have time to read this from Vivian Guerin, former director of the Irish Probation Service, on the subject of Brian's email regarding the prospects of progressing out of COVID restrictions. He says, this reminds me of what many people feel serving prison sentences. They call it gate fever as they get nearer to their release date. And it's a feeling of positive excitement about the prospect of getting out of jail combined with an underlying fear of how they will cope, and if they will cope, as well as, believe it or not, fear of the loss of the familiar, what they have become used to in custody. This is the result of the process of institutionalisation. No matter what our current or ongoing situation, the prospect of change, even to a better future, can cause anxiety. All change involves loss, and loss involves pain. And we can all become institutionalised in one way or another and need help and most of all understanding in how we navigate the changes. Brilliant comment from Vivian, who's the former director of the Irish Probation Service, because somebody was saying that it's like we've been in a class of prison. And that's not a flippant thing to say. I actually think that's completely true. I also think there's a national trauma that needs to be addressed. And some people will like trauma and panic and nervousness. Some will be affected more than others. And it's worth having a conversation about, as we like to say. So let's keep that going. Quick break to take. Yeah, and on that again, I totally understand Brian's reaction to the end of lockdown, says Jean. I realise who my real friends are. They're the ones you could chat to even though you had no news. I saw the people in my bubble. I saw the ones I wanted to see. A lot of the superficial acquaintances fell by the wayside. So life was more real. I dread the return to gossip and silly lunches with people I have no interest in talking to. It's not Stockholm syndrome for me. It's just getting rid of a lot of baggage. So I get it. Well, it's not up to you then to prune and curate, as they say these days, your life and the people in it. And they don't all have to come back, you know. And Miles has written some wonderful books, says Mary Keating. I absolutely loved Irish Voices from the Great War and the wonderful How the Irish Won the West, even though Cavan people didn't come out too well of that. Looking forward to Four Killings. You're going to love that, by the way. So get it today from your local bookshop if you can. But it's 10 o'clock. We've got to go. Stay tuned to Clare Byrne. Have a wonderful day and thanks so much for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.